Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, get your Bibles and go with me into 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I'm going to launch from another spot, but we're going to spend the bulk of our time in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I have an interesting message tonight. It came really from a thought and really from a season in my life. And the title of tonight's message is called When You're Weary. You know, some of you guys maybe came into this place tonight and you're weary. You're wore out. Feel like you've been run ragged and put away wet or something like that. You know what I mean? And sometimes we go through seasons of life. Some of you guys may not be in this season, but I want to just encourage you to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you about where you're at tonight, wherever you're at. Or store this up for a season that you go through that you know that maybe you're going to be lagging. Maybe you know that there's going to be something that happens. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen, and you find yourself in this position. Wherever that is, God is going to speak to you, and God's going to minister to you tonight. There's a season I remember when I was in college and I was doing way too much with my life. I was going to college Monday through Friday, and then on the weekends I was traveling to San Diego. I was interning at a church, and I was going down there on the weekends and on Wednesday nights. The problem with this season in that time, and college enough is enough just to keep someone busy, right? But then you add on a ministry, and then add to the fact that I was never attending or sitting in church. I was always giving out. I was always ministering. I was always pouring out. For my staff members that are here tonight, that's why we expect that our staff members go to church, because you can't pour out and expect to be full, right? You pour out long enough and you never get poured into, you're going to end up empty and burned out and weary and tired and frustrated. It was during this season that I was also, because of the ministry, that sort of thing, I was very naive, very young, and didn't realize that, you know what, you know, you've got to take care of natural things as well as spiritual things. And I had a word from God that I should seek an opportunity in ministry. And so this one came up, other doors closed. I went through that door. But in that time, I was also not working. Okay, now you need money to drive from here to San Diego, right? And so my savings that I had saved up when I was working eventually were depleted. And I remember I was sitting one day at my desk, and I was just overwhelmed, I was burnt out, I was tired, I was weary. And I remember just sitting there like, God, I can't even pray right now. And I put my head down on the desk, and I just cried. I had nothing else I could do. I didn't know what else to do. I just sat there kind of in this state of nothingness, just not moving forward, not moving backward, just sitting there in the presence of God like, I don't even know right now. I mean, maybe you've had a time in life like that. Maybe you're in that season right now where you're just kind of there and you're weary and you're wore out, you're tired, and you don't know what to do. In life, we can grow weary. Sometimes we grow weary in battle. You know, when you fight something long enough, even if you're making headway, sometimes just the nature of the fight can cause you to grow weary. When you wake up every day and it's the same thing coming at you, maybe it's an attack of the enemy, maybe it's a physical sickness, maybe it's a lack or a need that you feel like you're constantly fighting to get ahead and you're constantly battling that thing. Maybe it's a season with your children or a season in your marriage that there's been a rough patch. We can grow weary in those seasons. Maybe it's not a fight, but maybe it's just monotony. Like you wake up every morning, you have the same bowl of cereal, you put on the same outfit, you go to the same job, you eat the same stale sandwich for lunch, you go back to the same job, you go home and you watch the same show at night, and then you go to bed and you wake up the next morning and you do it over and over and over and over again. And you got the blues because life is just monochromatic and it's monotonous and you're doing the same thing and you grow weary because of that drudge. It's the same thing and it wears us down after a while. How many of you notice this? When you're weary, you don't really make the right decisions always. Anybody notice that? I know for me personally, when I'm tired, when I'm weary, I'm not always making good decisions. You know, there's times where when I'm weary, the devil will attack. When I'm weary, I can have a hair trigger at times, you know, and somebody will just ask you a simple question. You blow up on them, like, what do you think? You know, and they're like, whoa, I just asked you, like, if you want to go eat, you know, like, is that okay? And you just blew up on them, you know what I mean? But when we're weary, we don't often make the best decisions. I see this in fact, many people in the Bible, but one of them was King David. There was a time in King David's life where Saul was pursuing him. was pursuing him in the wilderness. He'd find him one place and he'd go after him. David would show himself to be faithful, show himself to be good. He'd have the edge on Saul, and Saul would be very repentive, and Saul would be very sorrowful, and Saul would say, I'm not going to pursue you anymore, and Saul would cry. And I mean, it was like this abusive relationship where it's going back and forth, and the next thing you know, Saul's pursuing him again. Saul's coming after him again. And so David went from place to place, from thing to thing. And finally, I want you to look at this verse in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. Now, up until this time, David had simply followed the Lord. He'd simply gone from place to place and listened for the voice of God, used his cunning and his wisdom that God gave him. The Bible says that David was very skillful. He was very wise. In fact, I believe that the wisdom that Solomon had, yes, was imparted by God, but you can see a lot of the wisdom of David, even in his son Solomon. And that's why Solomon was so great, was because he had a great example in his father. And when it came time to ask for something, he didn't ask for riches or victory over his enemies. He asked for the wisdom like his father had. And so here's David, this very wise man, and he's been running from Saul all this time, and God has taken care of David all this time. But David got weary. David got grinded down. David got to the point where all of a sudden, I don't believe that this was a wise choice. Why not? Because when is it ever wisdom to go to the land of the enemy and hang out? To me, no, I'd rather be in my homeland. I'd rather be in the promised land. God gave this land to our fathers of faith, right? To Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I'm a part of that heritage, and I've been anointed king, and God has made promises to me. And now I'm going to go hang out in the land of the enemy? The land of the Philistines? I mean, the last time he saw this king that he's about ready to go see, he had spit running down his beard and was acting crazy so that the guy wouldn't kill him. And now he's going to show up and seek asylum from his enemies. From the one that he took out their champion, Goliath, the giant. It was David who had slain his 10,000s, now is going to go to those people that he had slain and ask, will you guys take me in? But notice what he does. He says in his heart, he's been thinking on this. He's dwelling on this. Now I shall perish. In other words, he says, someday Saul's going to kill me. Someday this is going to happen if I hang out here. I got to get out of this situation. I've got to get out of what's driving me down. I got to get away. And look at what he says. There's nothing better for me than that I should escape and go to the land of the Philistines. There's nothing better. In other words, when you're weary, you're not thinking straight. You're not looking at all the options, and especially the God option, right? There's nothing better, David? Really, there's nothing better? How about that God shows up and moves on your behalf? There's nothing better? And yet he's weary, and he's been running for a long time, and he's wore out, and he just wants to get away. See, it was during this time that David was in the land of the Philistines. It was a year and 4 months, the Bible tells us. And it was during this time that David continued to make several bad decisions. In fact, he starts doing raids on different lands in the south. Now, you know, he could have justified that and said, well, these are the people that have opposed God, and these are people that, you know, have come against. These are our enemies. And so he goes and starts doing these raids. But so that the Philistines don't get mad at him for doing these raids on all these other people, he starts to lie about it. He covers it up. In fact, he kills everyone in those towns, men, women, children. What kind of a man goes into a camp and kills everyone? A man who's not making the right decisions. Takes the spoils, and when he comes back into the land, the king says, where have you been? And he starts to lie. Starts to cover it up. Oh, I was raiding the south of Judah. I was going after the Hebrews. No, he wasn't. He was going and raiding other people, and he was covering it up. And in fact, eventually he was ready to go to war against his own people. You'll find that when they lined up all of the Philistines to go to war against Israel, David and his troops were at the end of the pack, walking in line to go to battle against his own people. See, one bad decision led to another bad decision, led to another bad decision, until he finds himself fighting against the people of God, fighting against his own brethren. David continued to make bad decisions. Thank goodness the Philistine lords hated him, and they were like, this guy is not going to battle with us. He'll turn on us in the middle of the fight, and our heads will be the favor that he needs with King Saul. Get that guy out of here. He's not going to war with us, and he didn't go to battle against his own people. Thank goodness for that, because in doing so, he ended up going home. But guess what happens when we make bad decisions and when we're weary? David goes home and he shows up in this place called Ziklag that was given to him by the Philistine lords. And when he shows up to Ziklag, as they're coming up on it, they see smoke coming up out of it. He himself had been raided. And what he'd sown, now he's reaping. Now, again, God is gracious and God is awesome. And so David and his men show up and they find out that they can actually go and catch up and get all the people back. And so they go and they find their wives and their children, and they're able to get a lot of spoil out of that, and everything works out okay in the end because God is merciful and God is good. But can I tell you something? I put this statement up on the overhead that God spoke to my heart. It's simply this. It's better to suffer through weariness than to live in the comfort of a compromised life. It's better to suffer through weariness. It's better to stay in the land that God has sworn to your fathers to give you. It's better to be in the land of Israel, in the midst of your brethren, than it is to go to live in the comfort, to escape the problem in a compromised life. God does not want us to compromise. God does not want us to cover things up. God doesn't want us lying. God doesn't want us picking on other people for our own benefit and other people's expense, right? God doesn't want us going to war against our own people. God wants us to suffer through that weariness and stick in there through the problems and the trials and follow him rather than live in compromise. God wants us to stay true to who we are as Christians. You know, every story in the Bible says is an example for us, and that it's saved and is stored in the scriptures for us to learn from so that we don't do the things that they did, but that we can learn from those things and grow from those things and be the people that God wants us to be. So in seeing the negative things, I actually wanted to flip that on its head and tonight give you some positive things. What to do when you're weary? If you're in this place tonight, I hope that you're taking notes. I hope that you're just soaking in as much of this as you can. Because I'm hoping that tonight is like a shot of adrenaline in the arm. I'm hoping tonight is a shot of hope. I'm hoping tonight that God is speaking to you and helping you. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to wake up tomorrow and the problem's going to be gone. No, it'll be there staring you in the face, right, with bad breath and a nasty look on its face. It'll be right there. But if you know what to do, then you'll be able to go through the problem and come out on the other side victorious and uncompromised and winning the battles of life. So what to do when you're weary? First thing is this, is trust in the process. Trust in the process. Now, I could have said trust in God. I could have said that. And yet, what I see from the scriptures is that God initiates a process for us to go through. So trusting in the process actually means that you're trusting in God who designed it for you. You understand? See, God has designed the things that we go through to work in us his will. In David's case, he could have continued another year and 4 months until the battle with the Philistines finally took Saul out. Because eventually that's how Saul died, was a battle with the enemy, the Philistines. So if David wanted to, he could have just stayed out there and camped out at En-Gedi or any number of places that he was at, could have kept moving around, could have kept playing the game, could have kept going through it until finally the time came for Saul to be taken out. And yet he didn't. He chose to go to the land of the enemy, and he chose to go to the land of compromise. But God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to go through these processes, go through these hard times, and even go through them when we're weary, when we're tired, and when we're wore out in the strength that he gives. I had you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to read verse number 16 through verse number 18. Anybody getting anything so far? Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, starting out, says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Everybody say, we do not lose heart. Say it again. We do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, dying. Yet, the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's why I was so broken. That's why I was going through the darkest time of my life when I was only pouring out, is because I wasn't renewing the inward man day by day. Everything was going outward, finances, energy, effort, mental capacity, thoughts, prayers, time, effort, everything was going out, and I wasn't letting anything come in. When you're weary, you have to allow God to move on the inside of you. You got to allow God to touch. You got to allow God to fill you up. You got to allow God to infuse the strength and the grace that you need each and every day. You got to have those moments with God, those times with God, those connections with God every morning, every afternoon, every evening. Every time church comes up, it's time to get in and get refreshed and get built up so that I can go back out there. And I may be battle weary. I may be monotony weary. I may just be weary, right? I could be physically tired. And yet I can go through it. Why? Because the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction. Everybody say light affliction. Now, if you read through 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, you will read some things about the Apostle Paul's life. Hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Down, but not out. I mean, he goes through all this. The list of things that this man endured, he writes them down in 2 Corinthians. He talks about being snake-bit, shipwrecked, beat up. They threw stones at him to kill him. He received the 40 lashings minus one 3 times. I mean, this guy had persecutions. He had wild beasts chasing him. I mean, talk about like running from a bear or a pack of wild dogs while you're trying to preach the gospel. I'd be like, God, I did not sign up for this. This was not what they taught me in Bible college. You're going to stop and have a Bible study and break out your Strong's Concordance with a bear? It doesn't work. And yet, the Apostle Paul, after he goes through all that, says, for our light affliction. Not much, not that bad. It's just a flesh wound. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, the Bible says our time on earth is like a vapor. Ladies, when you spray that hairspray in the morning, it's there, you see it, and it's gone. That's your time on earth. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, we oftentimes focus on the exceeding and eternal weight of glory, which I think we should. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That God is working us in this light affliction. God is working a weighty glory. That's pretty cool in itself, that God can do that. That's pretty amazing. But notice, put the scripture back up in the overheads, guys. Come on. Come on, look at this, because I want to point something out. I want you to notice. He says, our light affliction is working for us. Did you catch it? Our light affliction is working for us. Now, you can read other scriptures and other places in the Bible that says God is working for us. But in this scripture, in this location, it says that the affliction is working for us. In other words, God put a system in place called affliction, that if we do not lose heart, if we don't give up, if we don't grow so weary that we stop and quit, the affliction itself is designed to go to work for us. And what is it going to work? It's going to work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's amazing. That's why the book of James says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, because you know that they're working for you. And rather than sit there and cry and bawl, it's going, God, why me? Why not? You can smile and say, thank you, Jesus, that this affliction is going to work. And who's it working? It's working for me. I'm the boss. Come on, I'm El Jefe. I'm the one that this thing's working for. This is not working against me. It's working for me. And what is it working out to? A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wow. That's amazing. But we still got one more verse. Take a look at the next verse. Next verse says this, verse number 18. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We get so focused on the problem. We get so focused on the things we can see rather than looking to God, rather than looking to the glory that awaits us, rather than looking towards the reward of heaven that's there for us, that's being stored up, These things, the Bible says, are going to our account in heaven. We're storing up treasure. Let me give you an example of this. We all hate discipline, don't we? No one likes discipline. No one likes any form of discipline. Working out is a discipline. Eating right is a discipline, right? When we go through things, oftentimes they're discipline. How about this? You mess up on the job and your boss has to talk to you about it. It's never pleasant, isn't it? But I know that every time I've had a rude boss get in my face and yell at me, I've become a better employee on the other side of it. Because if you will allow that affliction, that moment of pain, to work its way in you, a good process by God, on the other end of that, it will turn out good for you. In the same way, I've been a better boss because of that. Why? Because I've seen the work ethic that God instilled in me through that process. And now on the other end of that, I've been able to help other people in that process. You understand? See, those things that we go through that we don't like oftentimes are working for us. They're doing something in us. They're creating character. They're creating us. They're pushing us to God, right? They are working on our behalf so that eternal weight of glory on the other end of this will be what we see rather than the things that we see. I was so blessed. Someone wrote us in a praise report on one of the prayer cards. We pray over those every week. So if you ever have prayer requests, you say, Pastor, I'd like you to pray for me. All you got to do is go out to the boxes out there, fill out a prayer card, or send us an email at rockchurch.com, and you can shoot us a prayer request. And we pray for those things weekly. We lift you up before the Lord. And so as I was looking over the prayer list one week, I saw this, and I was so blessed. It said, thank you, Lord, for blessing me with the strength to stop smoking and with a job. Thank you for the pain. That really caught my attention right there. I was like, wait, what? Thank you for the pain. Because of that, I'm here today loving you with my children. I was like, are you kidding me? Somebody actually was thanking God for pain because they recognized that the pain pushed them to God. And because of that, they're here today. And not only them, but their children are with them. That's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Second thing is this, what do you do when you worry? Number one is that you got to make sure that you trust in the process. God designed it to do something for you. Second thing is this, is to think and speak faith. Think and speak faith. Remember I said we can learn from the negatives that we saw. King David was focused so much on the problem. Saul's going to kill me, right? That he thought to himself, there's nothing better for me than to go to the land of the Philistines and escape. There's nothing better than that, right? See, he was thinking, wrong thinking produced wrong speaking, which produced wrong actions. In the same way, if we can get right thinking, it will produce right speaking and eventually will work its way into right actions. Y'all following me? That's the process we see in the Bible. But we have a really hard time with this because I don't think people understand what it really means to speak faith because they think that if I'm speaking faith, I'm not telling the truth. I'm being fake. And in our day and age, in our generation especially, people are looking for, I hear this word thrown out all the time, authenticity. Be real with me. Be authentic. I don't want those fake people. I don't want those fake Christians that never acknowledge anything, right? Why can't you just acknowledge it? Why can't you just say it, right? And so we think that if we speak faith, that we're just completely disregarding the truth of what's happening to us. Now, let me put you to school on this for a second. There are facts. And there's the truth, okay? The facts don't always line up with the truth, okay? Point in case. The Bible is truth. Jesus, speaking to God, says your word is truth, right? Anything that God says is the truth. Doesn't matter what the facts say, God's word is truth. It is the only truth. It is the eternal truth. It is the unchanging truth. It is constant no matter what happens, no matter what our experience is, no matter what the culture shift is, no matter what happens on the earth. I don't care what you see, what you hear, what you feel. Truth is truth. It is the plumb line. It's the one that's going to show you everything else lined up with it. That's truth. The facts will often look different than the truth. Let me give you, for instance, the truth of God's word says that by his stripes I was healed. Past tense. By his stripes you were healed. It's already happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus took a beating and hung on a cross and paid the ultimate price for your sin. That's why the book of Psalms, you can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord, who forgives all my sins. We can easily see, oh, my sin, yeah, on the cross, my sin, right? Who heals all your diseases. Wait a second. But the facts say, I'm sick. So then, is the truth of God's word no longer true because the facts say something else? Come on, I'm bringing this out of you. Hopefully you're getting stirred right now. Hopefully you're thinking, because people who don't think aren't doing life the way God designed them. God never designed you not to think. God doesn't want you just to lose your brains, right? God wants you to think through these things because the facts don't line up with the truth. Does that make the truth any less truth? No. It's just I've got to hold on to the truth, and I've got to think truth. I've got to speak truth until the facts line up with the truth. That's what speaking faith is all about. In other words, when somebody says, hey, your nose is red, your eyes are all itchy looking, you've been coughing all morning, are you sick? It's not like, bless God, I'm not sick. That's not speaking faith. That's deliberately not looking at what's going on. You can say, yeah, I've got a cough, eyes are itchy, sinus allergies, all that. Wind kicked up a bunch of stuff the other day and has been bugging me. But you know what? God's working in me for a healing and a cure. Now you just spoke faith. You understand? When you quote God's word, when you say what God says about your life, you are speaking faith. You are declaring the truth over your situation. The fact may be that you're broke, but the truth is that God has blessed me with every blessing in heavenly places, that my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that I am prosperous and in health, even as my soul prospers. See, there is more truth about your life than there is facts about your life. And yet we focus on the facts, I'm broke, 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 rather than say, God's blessing me, God is my provider, he's got something prepared for me, God will take care of me, I will never lack, I will not have any need, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, the righteous shall inherit the land. See, we got to start to get a hold of the truth and think on it, dwell on it, meditate on it, let it get on the inside of you, and when you believe it, when you start to receive it, then you start to declare it, and as you speak faith, you'll live out those things in your life. But the afflictions are designed to push you into that, or you'll grow weary and you'll get pushed away from that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, once again, verse 13 this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Listen, church, the Christians have been silent for far too long. It is time for us to start talking. It's time for us to start speaking our faith. If people around you don't know that you're a Christian, you better start talking. You better start declaring it. Live it in your life and speak it with your language. Start to declare the language of faith. People ought to know that you're different. People ought to know that you're believing God. People ought to know that you're crazy enough to believe God for supernatural things. People ought to know that you have a relationship with God and that you can hear God. People ought to understand that there are certain things in your life that you will not compromise on. They ought to know not to ask you certain things because they know what your answer is already going to be, because you've been living your calling and you've been declaring your purpose, and because you've been witnessing the word of God through your language and through your faith. I believe, therefore I speak. You should not be able to get around a Christian and not hear the language of faith and the scriptures coming out of them, the word of God and the goodness of God and the declarations of faith that should be coming from a believer's life. It saddens me to think that people are so curled up, cowardly, that they can't start to speak out and declare the goodness of God. That is the witness of Jesus Christ on the earth. And when you declare that, you know what? Everyone will hear. And yeah, you'll stir up a hornet's nest. People will be mad at you. Some people won't like you. It's going to happen. But guess what else happens? There will be people that receive. And there will be people that are drawn to it. And guess what else happens? You yourself will be refreshed. The Bible says when we remind ourselves of every good thing we have in Jesus Christ, that we ourselves get refreshed. You ought to be building yourself up in your most holy faith, especially if you're where you start speaking faith, start declaring, I may be tired, but I will wait on the Lord and he will renew my strength. I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and not grow faint. I will rise up on wings as eagles. If you're weary, start to find the scriptures. Waited on the Lord. I called for him. He's my strength. He's my song. He's my fortress. The name of the Lord is a strong tower the righteous run into, and they are safe. You ought to find those scriptures in the Word of God. Last thing for us is this. Last thing. What to do when you're weary? Keep doing good. Could have said keep doing well, but keep doing good. Good is what God says. Stay after it. Stay after what God says. Stay after it in the monotony. Stay after it when the battle goes long. Stay after it when you're up in the middle of the night. Stay after it when you don't see results. Stay after it when people have told you it's not going to work. You might as well give up. Stay after it because your breakthrough could be on the other side of your staying after it. What if you had waited one more day? What if you went after it one more time? What if you went up? What if you prayed harder? What if you prayed longer? What if you struck the ground another couple of times? Would you wipe that thing completely out? Come on. There's enough in the Word of God for us to know that it wasn't the people that gave up, turned their back, walked away, and quit that got the reward. No, it was the people that even though they didn't see, they believed and they continued on. And they just continued on. And they just continued on. And they just continued on. And in our world of instant gratification, we've got digital downloads and instant everything, right? Get your meal in 30 seconds or less or free. We're too lazy to even go to the drive-thru anymore. Everybody's got Uber Eats and Postmates and all this other stuff where we're delivering it to your door, DoorDash, right? 6 million different apps just to put food in your mouth to where you don't even have to leave the house. As if pizza delivery wasn't enough, right? Now I got to get all the drive-thru stuff too. And in our world of instant gratification, we have more and more of a problem waiting on God. Flies over in every area of our lives. Patience, long-suffering, temperance. These are fruits of the Spirit, and they only come in the midst of affliction. Scientists decided to test out an amoeba. They wanted to see how it would respond in a perfect environment. So they put it in what they believe to be a perfect environment, perfect liquidity, perfect temperature, perfect light. Had a little amoeba spa with a pool and hot tub. And I'm kidding now. I'm joking. You guys are supposed to laugh well before that. But they had a perfect environment, the amoeba resort, if you will. And as they were preparing to see how the amoeba would respond, and they looked at it, the amoeba died. Did you hear that? The amoeba died. In perfect environment, the amoeba died. Apparently, the amoeba needs something to live for. It needed something to fight for. It needed imperfect conditions in order for it to strive and in order for it to live and to thrive. In our lives, we need to understand that the afflictions that cause us to grow weary are actually working for us. Because a life in perfect conditions is not a real life at all, is it? No, perfect conditions aren't life. But if you can keep going in the midst of weariness, that's life. If you can keep going in the midst of adversity and trial, that's life. If you can continue on and follow God, just fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, there's no author that I know of that writes a story that doesn't have ups and downs. Doesn't have cliffhangers where you just feel like you're just hanging over the edge, about ready to fall off. We're on the edge of your seat wondering what's going to happen next. No author writes a story that's worth anything without some adversity and some trials and the hero of the story growing weary and thinking that they can't go on another moment. See, the greatest stories that we know are the comebacks, the underdogs, the David and Goliath, if you will, stories. And that's why God has David and Goliath in the Bible. But that's also why God has David running to the camp of the Philistines, is so that we can learn that, guys, keep doing good. Stay in there. God's on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if, here's the condition. Anytime you see if in the Bible, this is like a teeter-totter. Everything hinges right on this thing. If this happens, good. If it doesn't happen, not going to work out for you. If we do not lose heart, stay after it. Don't grow weary in the battle. Don't grow weary in the monotony. Don't grow weary in well-doing, because in due season, there's coming a time. It's not always going to be like this. Can I encourage some of you guys in this place tonight? It's not always going to be like this. This is not your forever. Somebody needs to receive that word tonight. This is not how it's going to be. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what your mama said. I don't care what the sergeant in the army said. I don't care what your boss said. I don't care what the mean people on the street said. I don't care what your teacher said growing up. I don't care what your brother or your sister said. This is not your forever. This is not your reality. Start locking it. That may be the facts right now, but lock into the truth of God's word, and God will move on your behalf. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful tonight for your word. Father, we receive it with meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Tonight, while you're there with your eyes closed, can I ask you a question? What is God speaking to you? Maybe you're in a place tonight of weariness. Maybe you're in a place tonight where the battle's gone long. And you found yourself getting grinded down. Tonight, what is God speaking to you? Maybe there was a point in the message that just really rang like a bell on the inside of you. Heard God speaking to you. This one's for you. This is where you're at. What's God speaking to you? Maybe tonight, you don't know what to do. Maybe you're like me, sitting at that desk. Been overwhelmed and you feel like you don't know which way to turn. Would you just take a moment and say, God, what do you want me to do? Would you just invite God to speak to you right now about your situation? If God gave you a scripture, write it down. I know if I don't write stuff down, I'll forget it. If God gave you a word or something to do, note it, write it down. This morning as I was in prayer, I was praying and I was stopped by the Holy Spirit. He told me to do something. I said, okay, God, I'll do that later. He said, no, do it now. So I went and I did it. Would you just ask God, God, when do you want me to do this? Obviously, we're in church, so he's not going to tell you right now. But maybe he says tonight, tomorrow, within a week. Would you put something measurable on that? He might tell you over the next year. It's not always fun. But remember, he's working. And the process is working on your behalf. But it may take some time. And for those of you that are weary in this place, remember, we've got our heads bowed, we've got our eyes closed. But if you're weary in this place, I want to just pray for you. Would you just lift up a hand so that I know who I'm praying for right now? You're weary. You're weary in this place. Wow. Hands are up all over the place. Father, you know every heart. You know every life. You know every situation in this place. You know the hands that are raised, the people that currently are just saying, God, I'm weary. Well, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them. I pray, God, that you would just breathe a fresh breath, your life into their lungs, God. I pray, God, that you would remind them of your presence in the process, and that they would trust you and trust the process, that it's working for them a far more eternal weight of glory than the temporary light affliction that they're going through. And Father God, we thank you that you're good. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the strength to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and that we fear no evil. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.